Will you turn to Luke chapter 18, preaching a new series on the pillars of joy? Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, yes. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, this is why Jesus told the parable. The Pharisees, oh, it's so hard. Lord, it's hard to be humble. Really? Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. Is this a prayer? God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like robbers and evildoers and adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Okay, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, Jesus said, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Why? For all those who exalt or lift themselves up will be humbled, and the humble will be exalted by God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thanks for this beautiful day. Oh, Lord, you have blessed us over and over again, and we humbly receive your love. Lord, as we always pray, and as you taught us, Jesus, and whenever you preached in parables or taught, give us eyes that see and give us ears that hear what your Holy Spirit wants to say to our hearts this morning, and we pray this only and always in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, saying amen. So again, this morning, beginning a new sermon series, The Pillars of Joy. I thought about it this week, and in many ways, I think it's kind of an extension to our previous series on the seven deadly sins and the seven lively virtues, because there's no question, right, in the fact that the deadly sins are joy killers in our lives. They really are. The lively virtues can bring us purpose and mission. We talked about that over the weeks. And yet, why does joy feel so elusive in our lives? Let's just be honest. Are most of us living with a lot of joy? Life is hard, right? Post-pandemic and all kinds of other stuff, right? If Christianity offers the promise of life, shouldn't it come with buckets and buckets of joy, right? Good news is that joyful living is not a matter of winning the lottery. Oh, Lord, if I can just have a joyful day today. Mm-mm. No, it's really about understanding and cultivating key Christian virtues and then making them a regular part, a bedrock of our lives in so many ways. In fact, all of us know something about these pillars of joy in one way or another. What are they? Well, it's things like humility or humble acceptance. That's today's topic. Humor, which we do around here. If you don't have a sense of humor, you're going to hate this place. I mean, there are some stick-in-the-mud saints who have left here and never returned. I'm like, toodles, toodles. Forgiveness, gratitude. Are we grateful for everything God has given us? If I only had this or that. Remember the sin of envy? Compassion. Oh, generosity. We'll get to these. All of these are keys. They will unlock joy in your life. And that's why we're doing this. This morning, we consider the importance of humility. Humility is an indispensable heart attitude for us as Christians in so many ways. We're going to look at each one of these sort of topics, and then we'll do a summary, kind of like we did with the seven deadly sins, seven lively virtues last week, which was kind of crazy and fun. But I want to talk about humble acceptance today. And, you know, one could back up and take a broader look and say a word that we sometimes use is, what's your perspective as a Christian? Have you noticed different Christians, they may be saved, but they could have very different perspectives on life or on situations. Humility has everything to do with your perspective, doesn't it, I think? Remember during the pandemic, we talked about perspective, maybe in different sorts of ways. We said things like, be strong and courageous, right? Moses' and God's words to Joshua. We said things like, faith over fear. Isn't it funny? People are flipping out, and no one's even hardly talking about COVID anymore. right? They don't even care. Everybody's so COVID fatigued, right? Do your due diligence. But isn't it weird what gets into us? What's our perspective is the point, I think, is what I'm trying to say. Perhaps we need to take a broader idea with humility as a perspective, because it's a pillar of joy. So what does perspective mean? Well, here's your, I always give you Latin or Greek words for the day. Comes from a Latin word. It means to look closely at. Your perspective, if it's godly and joyful, it will be studying something kind of carefully or thinking about it intently. Perspectivum could also be a medieval magnifying glass. I was laughing, Wayne just laughed. It's like, my grandmother who led me to faith in Jesus, one of the things I got from her was her magnifying glass. And it stayed in a drawer. It's been in a drawer for 20, 30 years. Guess what? I got it out this past week. Oh, yeah. Yuck it up. Talking about humor next week. But it's that time in life, I guess. Where's my wife? Jeez, Mr. Magoo, put on your glasses. You know, thanks. What's your perspective? Are you a glasses half full kind of person? Or are you a kind of a glass half empty? Because your perspective in life really does matter. I think part of our problem as Christians is that we have a tendency to jump to conclusions and sometimes assume the worst about things, right? Maybe that's because we need to control everything, right? I have found that even Christian people, we would rather have a bad answer than no answer at all. Why did that happen? I don't know. Well, nature abhors a vacuum. Let me make something up. It could be terrible. I had a friend in doctoral studies who lost his father at a young age. We try and fill in the blanks. He's like, yeah, my dad followed Jesus, but he died young, so he must have sinned against God. Oh. I said to him, I said, I love you, brother, but if you were my physical brother, I'd knock you out on the spot for saying such blasphemies. Bad theology. You don't know, so don't try and sometimes fill in all the blanks. We got to be in control, right? That's why having good Christian friends is really helpful. They'll say something like, when you encounter something hard, they'll say, okay, all right, take a deep breath. Let's look at this situation perspective, right? Let's calm down. Let's look at this from a variety of angles, right? Because there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? He's skinning cats now? No. Stop being so literal. Get into humor next week. That's not funny. That's why I think it's a good example of humility to sometimes say, I don't have all the answers. Well, what do you think, Pastor? I don't know. What do you think? Well, you're supposed to know. Well, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Sometimes people get mad. I don't know. Right? That's why having loved ones, Christian friends, are so helpful, right? They can help us reframe things from different angles. We could come to a new perspective on life and faith, right? When you know you don't have all the answers, that's another example of humility, right? Lord, it's hard to be humble because I know everything, really. Let me talk to your wife, right? When you know you don't know everything, you can be open, gain greater perspectives. That's positive. You know why? Because I guarantee your stress and anxiety levels will go down. Oh, I just got it. You could say that your perspective on life and situations as a Christian is a vital key that will unlock joy in your life. That's part of my point this morning as well. It can unlock you from that prison of yourself. I want to talk more about the prison of ourselves, right? Isn't self-centeredness the perspective of most of the world today? Kind of a no-brainer, right? Isn't the Christian life, the Christian living, an invitation to abundant life? Perspective. God's perspective, right? So is your perspective, here's a takeaway, is your perspective in life right now, is it primarily God-centered or is it self-centered? This will tell you a lot, right? And people go through different things. I know that. Perspective is a spiritual thing. Again, it's very much related to humility. Now, take for example, your Bible's open. Parable of the Pharisee and Tax Collector, Luke 18. This is a powerful perspective on the deadly sin of, we talked about it before, pride, and the lively virtue of humility. Why did Jesus even tell us this parable or say it in the original first century? Luke gives us the key, verse 9. Some were confident of their own righteousness and looked down at everyone else. We've all experienced that when somebody looks down on us for one reason or another. It's like, ugh, really? I hate that guy. Don't give him power, just laugh. Say, yeah, you know, yeah, if you think that's bad, you don't know me because you don't know the rest of my faults, right? It's hard to be humble, is it? It's a burden to be proud. You want to carry that? Some were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. The Pharisees actually thought that if they were good at one thing, it was humility. Isn't that hilarious? We're the most humble people of all. In fact, if we wrote a book on humility, it'd be a bestseller. Really? Really. They would actually think that. Oh, you don't say. So didn't Mac Davis in the offering video basically sing that humility is one of those things you can never brag about? You catch him? He's laughing the whole time with Kenny Rogers. Both of them, I believe, were Christian men, and they're both in Jesus' presence. It's hard to be humble. As soon as you think you're humble, you just lost it. That's how it works, right? Right. Ironic. Jesus chastised the Pharisees for their self-centered perspective of religious pride while praising the God-centered perspective of a humble tax collector. You ever met maybe some Christian brothers and sisters of a more fundamental variety, and they look down on you? Oh, well, I guess you could be saved. You know, it's like, really? Pharisaism 101. You can have fun with this. You can also be kind, or you can slap them. No, don't slap them. Jesus wouldn't approve of that. They deserve it. That's grace and mercy, right? Wow. The Greek behind verse 11 makes pride and self-centered perspective of the religious Pharisee even more ridiculous. Bible's open. The Pharisee was standing, I looked at the, praying these things to himself. That's gross. Praying these things to himself. So this guy, who's supposed to be a teacher of Israel, didn't really pray to God. He prayed these things to himself. Hello, doesn't that sound like spiritual idolatry 101? He prayed these, Lord, thanks for making me such a great guy who isn't a thief, isn't evil, an adulterer, or like this dirty tax collector here. I fast twice a week, unlike the drunks and the gluttons, and I tithe on everything. Oh, help me, Lord, it's hard to be humble. That's what he's singing about. Pharisees. How ironic. This man actually thought he was being humble and had a God-centered perspective. I don't want to cast stones, but they're, you know, sometimes you know they say, you know what a fundamentalist is? No fun, all damn, and no mentality. He's cursing in church. No, I'm not. I'm using it properly. Thank you. How ironic, this guy. Au contraire, Jesus said, the tax collector was the one with the God-centered perspective because he was humble. Notice he kept a distance. He knew he was not worthy from God's house. And he simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, we've talked about this in the past, right? Remember humility? Words matter, people. Latin word humus, right, which you can buy in the, you know, garden shop, means ground or earth. Isn't that why traditionally a preacher at the graveside said ashes to ashes, dust to dust? Remember that from Genesis 3? Right? That's why the pun intended. That's why the dead are the most humble. Because they're the most grounded. Hello. Bad dad joke. The tax collector, according to Jesus, was a model of humility because he knew this. He knew God is God and we are not. Hello. Humble people are grounded people. They know their real identity is in Jesus Christ, not in themselves. Or in other words, the humble person will naturally have, well, supernaturally will have a God-centered perspective in their lives. The proud and the ungrounded always have a self-centered perspective, right? We see this, we know this. Jesus reminds us in verse 14, everyone who exalts themselves, actually the Greek is literally, everyone who lifts themselves up will be, in the end of the day, humbled, or you could say humiliated. But the humble, God will lift up, literally. Kind of like the time when a farmer decided to retire. He decided to move into the city of Hamilton, and after settling in, he decided to attend one of our local churches. Do you know we have 65 churches in Ravalli County? Oh, yeah. The people there, though, criticized him for wearing plain clothes, told him that he needed to dress up to prove that he loved God. But he said this, these are the clothes that I have, but the pastor said, you go home and pray about it, and then you come back next week. The humble farmer came back the following Sunday in the exact same clothes from the previous week. The preacher was incensed. He actually stopped service midstream and said, began to shame and berate the farmer, saying, didn't I tell you to go home and pray about what you're going to wear to church? Have you ever been to a dress-up church? I used to be criticized sometimes for that stuff. It's like, I think it's still on the website. We don't have a dress code at Mosaic Church. No dress code. The only thing I ask is that you don't come in your birthday suit. And when I've said that, some the people that get mad don't think that's funny, they leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, interrupted the service. Didn't I tell you about what you should wear? The farmer said, I did pray about it, Pastor. Well, what did God tell you to wear to Sunday service? Screamed the preacher. And he said, well, to be honest about it, Pastor, God told me that he didn't know what I should wear to church. Didn't know what to wear to church? What are you talking about? Yeah, God told me that he had never been to this church anyway, so he didn't know. I said it. If you want joy in your life, you must embrace humility. We'll get to humor next week. If you want joy, you got to have God's eye perspective. God's eye perspective, right? Have you ever heard, this is interesting, I was reading this week. Have you ever heard of the overview effect? This is really cool. This is a picture from the moon. But astronauts that have been to space have said something like this. When they have glimpsed the Earth, kind of the blue ball floating in the expanse of space, it's changed their perspective, I've been told. They never look, when you look at a picture, I don't see any geographical boundaries or borders of men. Do you? I don't. Most of them never looked at their own personal or national perspectives in the same way ever again. Different perspective, right, for those few that have had that privilege. They were deeply humbled by the beauty of God's creation and the preciousness of God's gift of life. Amen. Yeah, this week, some more discoveries. It's fun. I discovered that leading health researchers have discovered something that the Bible has been talking about since the beginning. Oh, it's not new? No, not really. People who constantly use the pronouns I and me are more likely statistically to get sick and die more quickly. This is actually research. Versus those people that are more likely to say ours and we. Isn't that interesting? Researchers have revealed that those who constantly say I and me are also many more times likely to experience depression. Did Mama ever say this life's not just about you, right? I'm not downplaying. Depression is a real thing in people's life. People experience all kinds of horrible things. We all have, right? But if we constantly look at ourselves, we will experience more depression. Here's another statistic. You're at greater risk for heart attacks because your blood pressure will usually be higher, usually. I mean, there's exceptions to the rule. I get all that. But isn't this interesting? The bottom line is that we need one another. That's the way God created us. And then when you consider all of our own personal vulnerabilities, frailties, and limitations, that should help you be humble, right? Should help you. God's written it into the fabric. That's why our spiritual community and church family is so important. No, it's not perfect. There's no perfect church out there. Some people have been looking. They're connoisseurs of churches in this valley. You know, I like that one, but their coffee sucks. The music is wonderful, but the preacher is... I'm just looking for love in all the wrong places. Another country song. It's hard to be humble. You know, that's one of the reasons why I actually love this church. We value humor and amusement. We try not to take anything too personally. We value faith over fear. We don't take any pleasure in arrogance. You know the problem with arrogance among many things? It just creates anxiety and loneliness, right? Could it be that those things have come together over the last several years to create a, in general, a pretty joyful church? I think we're pretty joyful here, don't you think? I think that's a characteristic. We're just kind of looking at some of the details. Sometimes that's helpful. Humility is an absolute key in unlocking the joy of the Lord in your life. I'll never forget, I had lunch with Reverend Peterson, and I said, "Sir, how did you survive 53 years of pastoral ministry? Please, Guru, share me the knowledge." And he said, "Oh, that's easy. It's the joy of the Lord." I need more joy in my life. Hello. Maybe I should look into this, right? God-centered perspective. You know, awful things happen in our lives, right? We live in a fallen world. This is not a, you know, happy, happy sermon, you know, just smile and the sun will come out tomorrow. Please stop singing, Jim. Let Anne Marie do her job today. All right, I'm done. Awful things happen in our lives. I was thinking about that this week, just perspective. Many of you know that this church was born out of many tears and much pain 5.5 years ago. Just testimony. When Deb and I first came to Montana, our spiritual perspective was of initial joy, right? We were really excited about that. And then the perspective shifted kind of quick. And this is not about beating on any other institution or us or me or you, whatever. And I was like, oh my goodness. Two ladies from Canyon are here. I did not plan on that. Great to have you, Carla, Donna. Love you. Love these ladies. And what God's doing in your life and your testimonies. So glad you're here. When we first came out, from an external perspective, the church that brought me out here seemed to have everything, all the elements to build a really strong, vigorous church. I thought, oh, this church could become a major training center in the Bitter Valley. It had all of the elements, it looked like. But then from an internal perspective, I realized all was not as it appeared to be. I'll just say it. Boardroom style leadership, internal disunity, some weird and Pharisaic cliques. That was weird. Lack of vision. What I realized when I got here, the average senior pastor only lasts 3.5 years. Everyone without one exception has been fired. He got out of Dodge. He was a smart. But their perspective, right? When I came out, I thought, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm in my retirement church. This is going to be great. Perspective. I'd never, from a church, or for any job, even as a kid, I've never been fired before. That was new. That was humbling. Wow. But you know what? In the last 6 years, I've been able to look at that situation from different angles or perspectives and learn things. It was kind of hard, July 2016. It was 3 days from our 25th wedding anniversary. Bucket of ice water. That was fired 3 days before. Josh just graduated from Corvallis High. He was going to begin studies at UM. Zach was going to be married. My perspective couldn't have been bleaker in life at that time. But I was grateful for the severance pay, which was also hush money. I was told, if you speak about this to anyone in the community, it will be taken away from you. I'm not lying. Keeping it real. But I'm thankful for that because I was able to pay bills. And here's the story. Some of you know it. About 40 people came to Deb and I and said, will you begin a new church? And I was like, with all my heart, no. You know, church planning is hard. It's like starting a business. It's for like young guys who don't mind working 80 hours plus a week. Sound familiar, Josh? New business? Yeah, you're like, it'll get better, bro. After enduring the humble and persistent perspective of God's people, here's what I said. This was, you know, when God, anybody play chess and someone says, checkmate, gotcha. Here's how this one happened. God is so hilarious. I was irritated too. I was like, look, you need three things to successfully start a new church. You know, 50 to 60% of them die within 5 years. Right away. You have to have clear and compelling vision, number one. You have to have gifted and core committed group of people, number two. And three, you gotta have lots of resources. I mean, cash. Cold, hard cash. And you know what the founding members said? The response was overwhelming. I knew instantly it came from a humble, clear and compelling, God-centered perspective. This was the response. And they said, fascinating, Jim. And what's your point? That's when the church was born. It was like, checkmate. I'm like, oh. You know, I remember, was it the second week we got in here? This is so cool. We'll talk more about this later. But as you, some of you know, forgive me, our first Sunday, January 2017, was in the banquet room at the Elks. They were so cool to us. And I was like, you mind if we rent this for a while? And they're like, you want 3 or 4 months? I'm like, well, yeah, that'd be cool. And they were like, we got to charge you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I get it. How much? And I said, would $25 a week be too much? I said, sir, I think we can handle that. But we only stayed there 1 week because then I got a call from Mark and Don Ware, who used to own Bitterroot Christian Bookstore, where Anne Marie used to work. And they owned this side and that side. And he said, we've been praying. And God told us something. I'm like, okay. And they said, God told us to give you this side of the building for a monthly donation of your choice. I'm like, we ain't got no money. And they're like, that's okay. Give us what you can. I'm like, okay, Lord, yes, fine. Second, we got over here, and I'll never forget Jason Reeves. I was standing right over there still licking my wounds. And he said, you know what? I'm glad you got fired. I'm like, I'm not glad I got fired. I'm glad you got fired. You know what? 6 years later, I'm glad I got fired. I am so glad I got canned. Yeah, thank you. It sounds like a recovery group. And my name is Jim, and I got canned. And ooh, good job, Jim. You know what? Here's the perspective. Here's what I'm trying to share. Is I learned more about the joy of forgiveness in a year after that than I learned my entire Christian life. This was such, it was like, okay, God can shift stuff. This is so cool. He can shift your perspective. But you know, here's something I've also done as well. I've had to consider leadership and elders' perspectives on this. What were their concerns? Well, I laugh now. But I had just come from Chicago, and my urban ministry style was pretty intense. And I came to the Valley, and my Midwestern sarcastic humor got me in a heap of trouble. And I didn't get it because I was a dummy. And there's a lot of former Mennonites and Amish, and German people don't have a sense of humor, I've noticed. I'm half German, but it's the Ulster Irish in me that does this, I think. I have to give them their say and their due. They had a perspective, and in that way, it wasn't wrong. Whenever I saw a different way of planning or engaging for a particular ministry, I didn't always do a great job communicating that to leadership. I could have done that better, I think. So I learned some important things about things from their perspective. It doesn't mean that I had to agree with them. I could have done a few things better. It was kind of inevitable. But I learned from them. And you know what's really cool? I've alluded this to some people. I recently enjoyed a three-hour lunch meeting with the new senior pastor at Canyon View. Pastor Dan Bartles, great guy, really great guy. Just love spending time with him. And he said, you know why God brought me to Canyon View? He said, my ministry right now is about restoration and reconciliation. I was like overjoyed. I'm like, go, bro, go. This is awesome. And he and the leadership, they're rebuilding the church on some new foundations, which is awesome. There's perspectives of humility, right? I have every reason to believe that God is going to bless there. And that's so cool. But you know, Pastor Dan and his family are no strangers to difficulty and pain, right? Dan has literal heart issues, health issues. Some of you are aware we have prayed for them. Pastor Dan and Carol's son, Alex, recently passed away due to a work-related accident. Terrible. Kind of a parent's worst nightmare. But you know what he told me recently? He said that despite these tremendous difficulties in their current situation, their perspective has not changed that God brought them to Pastor Canyon View Church. And I was like, yeah. Go, bro. This is awesome. That's humility, people. That is a God-centered perspective. You know, Pastor Dan and Carol need and have requested our prayers. So would you pray for them in the days ahead? I know I will and will continue to do so. Here's my point. The first pillar of joy is beginning with a perspective of humility. Amen? We so need that. God is God and we are not. And if you want more joy in your life, and who doesn't, we got to start there. You see, all of this runs far deeper than the proverbial, is the glass half full or is it half empty? That's a good place to start, right? Not saying that it's not, but it really comes down for us as Christians to this one thing. Is your perspective primarily God-centered or is it self-centered? I don't know how to say it. Isn't the self-centeredness, isn't that the perspective of most people in this world? And we're surprised as Christians. They're so selfish, I can't believe it. Do they know Jesus? No. Well, hello, right? I mean, I know selfish Christians. You do too. They're in process. God's not done. Stop tripping, said Steve Harvey. Stop tripping. God's not done with me yet. He's not done with you either. And that's good news, isn't it? God-centered or self-centered? A humble perspective on life and the situations that are inevitable, and some of them are awful, they will come your way as a Christian. But one of the vital keys that will unlock buckets of joy in your own life is having a humble perspective. And the beauty of this is it's not just for you. You can spread joy, amen? Oh, be a joy spreader. But it starts with you and Jesus, amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your word. It's so true and real. We confess that we've been joy killers. We have not leaned in on the joy of the Lord. We confess that we've been selfish and self-centered, and no wonder we have less joy. But this morning we repent and we confess that you must be our center, Lord. And we just thank you for that truth, and that joy will inevitably come as we focus on Jesus. As we sang earlier, what a friend we have in Jesus. May our friendship with Jesus deepen today and in this week, Lord. We just thank you for this time together. We thank you for it with joy in our hearts. And we pray it in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen.